This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
I've wasted so much time, energy, emotion in, I guess, thanks for coming. I've worked really hard to simplify negotiation, and I've been in a lot of even over $1 billion negotiations. And it really comes down to this simple formula. One, you need to know your timing and risk tolerance. Number one, you got to understand, okay, what is the timing of this deal and what's the risk that I'm going to take? Not just risk in money, but time, emotion, and any other value that you have. The better you determine going into negotiation, the easier it'll be to determine two things. Go in knowing your perceived value. Perceived value also has always been confusing to me. And I think I've come up with a really good definition of it. A perceived value is the level of comfort and confidence that you have in articulating, speaking about a quantitative value of what you're asking for. So I really came to the understanding of this through speaking, because there's all these speakers. And sometimes I have one of my coaching clients and he charges like his perceived value, what he asked for, is like $5,000 to speak. And he's better than M.I. Ladd. He's better than Jesse Itzler. He's better than Tom Bilyeu. He may even be better than I am. Like, he's really good. And it reminds me of some other guys when you're just started. And why perceived value is perceived value in the confidence level, as well as your comfortability of asking, is it makes you realistically say, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. You know, nobody knows who I am. So like in speaking, there's two values you can bring. One would be to sell tickets. So you can suck at speaking, but you're, you know, a famous football player and you'll sell all the tickets and people will show up for you. So people will pay you to speak because they can sell tickets and make money against you. Or I know guys that do events and you're a horrible speaker, but people will pay $1,000 to do a VIP meetup and take a picture with you and pay for a ticket and people will come. And so they make a margin on it. And so the comfortability knowing that I have that quantitative value of, hey, look, I suck at speaking, but people are going to pay to take my picture and show up and buy a ticket. That's cool. And then there's other people that can't sell any tickets and they have impact. So, you know, for example, there's a lot of good sales speakers, and I started getting back into sales once I was able to reconcile the spiritual, the emotional side into sales now of what I do. And it's a blessing because I think a lot of big companies are ready for what I'm speaking about again. But my quantitative value in speaking, beyond building a little bit of brand and selling some tickets, you know, I can sell out masterminds, 25, 50 people, but I'm not Tony Robbins. You're not selling out Delta Center. But when I'm speaking in sales, for example, 7,000 sales reps, I guarantee you within 90 days, I've made you millions of dollars from what I've taught, including this lesson that I'm giving everyone for free anyway. Perceived value is your ability to articulate comfortably and confidently the quantitative value, whatever that may be. I've been hired by big charities and they pay me more than companies because they know that I can raise more money on stage. Because nobody understands giving, receiving, being given, and I can get people to raise money. So therefore there's a margin that they make. So they can't see any reason they won't want to pay for that speech. You need to know your perceived value and the timing and risk tolerance involved. And then the easiest one, which I'm always surprised, is people don't know their bottom line. So you get a whole bunch of hemming and hawing in negotiation. Yeah, we're interested in you speaking. How much are you? Well, you lost. Or you are comfortable and you say, I'm $100,000. Well, we don't have that budget. Well, what is your budget? We have $15,000. Well, if you don't know what your bottom line is, what do? You lose all the energy, all the confidence, and all your ability to quantify the value. So you're like, well, no. If you go in knowing your timing and risk tolerance, you're comfortable and confident in articulating quantitative value of what you're asking for, and you know your bottom line, and someone says, hey, it's 15 grand, sorry, I can't do it for that. And then they can say, what can you do it for? And once again, you can just right away tell them your bottom line or go above your bottom line. If you're still comfortable articulating that quantitative value, it's up to you. Every single thing that we do has a perceived value and a bottom line. If you don't know it, you're at a loss in negotiation. It's that simple. Now, negotiation doesn't stop after you get a yes. You would be amazed how many deals fall apart that are in writing or verbally agreed upon. More than you would want to know. And it causes so much pain. It causes so much loss in time, value, and emotion because you've already sometimes spent the money because someone told you yes. Realize the minute someone says yes, verbally or in writing, that time, emotion, and value changes. Immediately, within a second, the time, value, and emotion will change immediately after you get a yes. And therefore, you not only still have to maintain your timing and risk tolerance, but now you have to align their timing and risk tolerance with the agreed upon shared vision of what it was. And so I institute a three no rule. I institute go no go plans that keep me in alignment in timing and risk tolerance. So you said, yes, terrific. I am going to get you the paperwork if it's not signed, or let's have our first call to go through the scoping of what we're going to do on Friday at 3 p.m. Terrific. If I call Friday at 3 p.m. and you're not there or something happens or I forgot to call, one no. When I get to the third no in a go, no go plan, or even in the transition into a shared vision, the minute I get the third no, it's, hey, obviously this isn't the right time. Call me when it is. I don't chase because I know time, emotion, and values change. Therefore, people have one fear. All of us, you know what our fear is? Letting other people down, being seen as a liar, or changing our mind. So they'll say yes, and then something will change, and instead of telling us the truth of the change, they'll be embarrassed or feel bad about telling you no, and then they're going to cost you so much more money by not being too afraid to tell you no. So give them permission to say no. But you're also liberating someone to be aware that, hey, time, emotion, and values change. I still want to do it, but I wasn't expecting a tax bill, or I wasn't expecting a flat tire, or I wasn't expecting, you know, to have a baby or sell my house, whatever it is. Well, all we do, if someone's still interested, is we accelerate the yes without having to chase. So if we utilize the three no rule, we manage timing and risk tolerance after the yes even, and then we can also still what? Renegotiate because perceived value may have changed or bottom line may have changed. Determinative upon what? The time change of value emotion in the essence of the agreement. It may change for me. It may change for me. How many times have you sold something and something changed? Especially if it was like crypto or a stock or a house. Right? A lot can change when things are moving. You have a 90-day closing. You're at risk that timing and risk tolerance is changing, and now people are backing off. I guarantee we had an Airbnb here for the Super Bowl. I guarantee you the timing and risk tolerance, I booked this so far out, I bet you it's a very big, luxurious house, and I guarantee you what happened from a luxury resort company, I guarantee you that someone offered them a shitload of money for that house, and I had gotten it way back when they didn't realize it was Super Bowl, because this is my 35th Super Bowl and I do these things. So what did they do? Oh, we have a flood. I guarantee if we drive over there, there's no flood. Because timing and risk tolerance has changed, and the sale, it happens all the time. So know your perceived value, know your bottom line, know your timing and risk tolerance. Know that most importantly, it will change. Timing, value, emotion will change in the deal. Give people permission and prepare for them to want to say no. And if they're not going to say no, then just leave it at that. Hey, I know you're afraid to say no, so therefore call me when you're ready. Over 50% of people never call you. The other people will accelerate saying yes.